There is a community board meeting happening. Is it next week on Wednesday?
Yep. So the meeting is on the 8th of December, which is next week. And it's at 1:30 p.m. And it's on Zoom.
It is on Zoom. I know that we were just talking off the air that the council's rules for town hall, they haven't had time to get them ready yet because they only got the stuff from government a few days ago.
Mm.
So and we are operating under just level two, like it was. They've told us to do that. I imagine all the meetings are the same. They just haven't had time to get everything ready.
I think there was a decision made to continue the online meetings to the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think as a board, we were okay with that. I mean, we like having the meetings in person, but we've got one more meeting in the year, so it's going to be online. So if people do want to join in to the public forum part of that meeting, then just get in touch with me or any board member, and we can get you the link.
Yeah. So there's a Zoom link, but there's also the YouTube link for watching.
Yeah, that's right. So you can watch it live. Yeah. We'll make sure we put something up on our Facebook page, Community Board Facebook page. But you could just, once the meeting started, you just go to YouTube and you just type in Waikato District Council and it will come up with the live meeting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nowadays, because I've watched some of those, now when I go onto YouTube to do something else, if there's a meeting on like an infrastructure committee meeting, that's pops up as one of my options to watch.
It's
like, I'm here to relax. I'm really not going to... There's like three people watching it.
Yes.
But that's the way it goes. All right. So we were talking about bylaws, and the one I didn't check whether you were up with is the Easter trading bylaw. There's a whole lot of bylaw changes coming. Or no. What is it? Consultations? Is that what we call it?
Yeah, I think there's always, almost always bylaws are being reviewed by the council. They have a schedule of many different policies and bylaws that they have to continually review.
Yeah.
And when they come through, we get notified as the community board, and then that'll go out to the community and on the council's website. If you want to go and ever find out what bylaws are being reviewed, you just need to go to their website and check it out on there. It's normally pretty straightforward. There'll be maps if there's maps related to what's happening. And if you ever don't understand something that's on there, just contact a community board member and, ask. We should be... So those three, there's three that just came through my email yesterday.
Yeah.
One was the Easter trading policy, the speed limit bylaw, and the dog control bylaw.
Yeah.
And
so for Easter trading, I seem to remember last time we open it up more? Certainly Raglan is you can trade on Easter.
I
can't see that changing.
I don't know, to be honest. I haven't actually looked since yesterday, seeing that yesterday. I haven't looked into it to see what they're proposing, what changes. So I can't comment too much on that at the moment.
I think that is one of those things that they listen to the community on. And I can't see it changing, especially with Raglan Arts Weekend now going to be an Easter or going well, because they couldn't do it in Labour Weekend.
Mm.
Businesses won't want to miss out.
Yeah, and I imagine they'll be taking into consideration the other changes that are happening around and
everything's a little unpredictable at the moment, isn't it? I guess that's what we're thinking there. Okay. Should we go through the bylaw since we've mentioned them? The speed limit bylaw, we've just had big changes to the speed limit. Most of the town's gone to 40k.
Yeah, that's right. So I asked that question from a council staff member the other day. I said, haven't we just done the speed changes? You know, that's what I would think if I was a community member. But I understand that it's coming through for another review, and obviously we've got the whole of the Waikato district, which, we often just think about Raglan, but there's the whole district that's been reviewed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the main part that will relate to Raglan in this bylaw review will be the section of road, which was state highway.
Yes.
So from going towards Hamilton, from the 50K zone to about just before Greenslade Road, there's a small... just a short section of the State Highway 23 that's been revocated. That means that the council now have it in their management. So that little section will be reviewed in the bylaw. Basically, I think it's going to come down to 60.
Yeah, which will please all the people who've got houses along there.
Mm.
And I did the other night. I was driving out of town, and I went to accelerate as you do, and then two cars in front of me, someone was trying to turn into the farm stays,
mm.
and we were all like threw the anchors out and hauled on the brakes. And I was like, yeah, this will be much better when it's at 60K.
I think so, really. Yeah. I mean, it'll be great when it goes even a bit further, but that's going to make a big difference, isn't it? Especially with that intersection of Hills and Monaco Road. And
Long been problems with
not
that.
Not Monaco Road, sorry. Hills Road and Lorenzen Bay Road. Yep.
And will the community board be looking to get footpaths and things put along that road now as well, so that people can walk?
Yeah,
safely?
Absolutely. I imagine that'd be a pretty standard thing for the council to consider.
Yeah.
Like generally, we'd be trying to have footpaths on roads of that speed limit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that'll be something as soon as it's done and decided. It'd be great to have that conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm.
Now the third dog control bylaw.
Mm.
We were just having a look at a map that's been put on Raglan 23, and my conclusion was we weren't sure if that was the full story about the dog area at Papahua is shrinking, because that was kind of the headline.
Mm. So there has been some work done on the dog control bylaw over the last probably 6 months.
Yeah.
And I was involved as being on the community board. We were involved in having some input into that, just into the initial putting together of the consultation and the review of the bylaw. I don't think it's actually changed. So I think what's really important, if you want to find out what's happening, go to the council website, go to that bylaw review. I'm almost 100% certain there'll be maps that will show, I'm sure there'll be maps,
there's maps somewhere,
which will show what the proposed changes are. And from what I understand around the Papahua area, there's not anything too big change. So you've still got, there's two things really. You can either have your dog off lead, and that's that area, past the campground, past the skate park.
On the other side of the campground.
Yeah, on the other side of the campground.
The beach there.
And as far as I know, that hasn't changed. That'll still be an off-lead run area.
Yeah.
And then really, I think in the playground and in the campground, dogs are prohibited. And then the area around the beach, basically to get from the footbridge around the beach to the off-run area, you need to have your dog on the lead. And if you're walking your dog, for example, let's say like along the new footpath to the Air Force Bridge, that would also be a dog on lead.
So that was your
understanding. So you really need to go. Yeah,
as the board, you were putting input into it.
I'd be very surprised if it's not that.
Yeah.
So I will be, when I go home, I'll be going to look at those maps. And
I guess in theory, staff could do something different after you've spoken to them.
Sure.
But you're not expecting that.
I don't see why they would have done that. But yes, and I'm not expecting that.
Yeah.
So just go. Okay. And if you've got any questions, if you don't understand it, just you can contact myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I did see you guys and some council staff members outside my window going to a meeting one day this week. Was that a workshop for something?
So that was a meeting that we pulled together. I wouldn't say kind of last minute at all. It was we probably put the invite out about 10 days ago. And that was to some of the emergency services.
Yeah.
So the people that we had that we invited to that meeting were like the police, the Surf Life Saving Club, the fire service, the ambulance service, and Coast Guard, and then people like Noel Barber, who works on Parks and Reserves, and the council monitoring team in Extreme Zero Waste. So what we wanted to do as a board was just provide a space to come together to just talk about preparing for the summer. Often that's happened before in a board meeting.
Yep.
Where actually we would have, Bob McLeod was great for that. He'd bring in the emergency services and was an opportunity for them to talk about what they're doing for the summer ahead.
So
it was really good, actually. We met for just over an hour, and it was really great. Everyone had an opportunity just to share about what they're doing. I think there was a general feeling that it could be a really busy summer, and that there might be, we'll have all the usual challenges that we have around parking and rubbish and all those things that ramp up when we get so many more people here. But added to that, obviously, we've got the unknown factor of COVID and having a lot of visitors here and just how that might play out. So I think everyone felt that we just all need to be really prepared. We need to be really positive, work really closely together, and just support each other to, just to look after each other and our visitors. So, yeah, it was really good actually to do that. And and that's something we might do again during the summer if we need to.
Yeah, it could be, who knows, we might go to red at some point if things go really badly in the middle of summer. So
yeah, it's a bit unknown, isn't it? But also we've got, which is really great, we've got the community response planning group, which is a group of community members. Lisa Thompson's doing a lot of work in the space, and we're just working to really understand what's in place in terms of support for home isolation. Like, so if people have COVID and they're going to be isolating at home, or if, you know, even if we have visitors here and they have COVID.
Do we know what happens? Do they have to leave, or do they have to stop where they are?
So I think we're just working. I don't think that they have to leave. Like, I don't think there's a rule around that. But that's the sort of thing that we're actually really thinking about, what would be the impact of that. And so the aim of that response group is really working really closely with the medical centre and with the health providers to understand what are the processes, what can we put in place to, you know, whether it's having testing centres. And so, yeah, that's all happening. And it feels like after that meeting, I thought this is awesome where I think we're doing really well as a community just to be prepared. We want to put some good communications out to our visitors and to the community as well, just to let them know that we are thinking about these things. And
The by-election closes on the 9th, is it? Next week?
That's right.
And so my question is, is it counted the same day? But the real question is, when does the winner officially become a board member and start participating?
So the person who is voted in by the community for the community board will need to be sworn in. That usually happens at a community board meeting. Okay, so our next community board meeting is not till February the 9th.
Okay, right. They've got a way to wait then.
Yeah, I suppose it's basically January, isn't it? I mean, by the time, or a bit of December and January.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is a way to wait, I suppose, until officially they're sworn in. And as far as I understand, I mean, there's no reason why they can't be involved in the community board and, you know, get stuck in.
Yeah, well, behind the scenes, you're always doing stuff out, you know, it's not like you only meet every 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. But it's just, I suppose, officially they won't be able to operate in certain capacity as a board member until the 9th of February. But I just really encourage everybody to vote. You might kind of think, oh, do we need to? It's only like this many months out until, you know, the next sort of full election period and there's only one person. But actually, I think it's really important. And just encourage everyone. There's only two people to choose from, so it's not too complicated.
It's a pretty simple one.
Yeah.
And we've got, the radio station's done interviews with both the candidates, and we've got audio and written forms of those interviews on our website. Just go to the news section, and people can check those out, find out a little bit about the candidates.
Yeah, that's really great.
More than you usually do from the small blurb that they put in.
Yeah.
In the formal thing that goes out.
Mm. Yeah, and just encourage you to also contact them directly. You know, you can always do that. They would really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, have a chat.
Okay, I wanted to ask. I think a while ago there's going to be a Manu Bay workshop to do with the break wall there, but it couldn't happen because of the lockdowns.
February.
That's happening in February.
Mm.
Okay, all right.
Early February is, I understand, is when they're scheduling a workshop.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's a tricky time, isn't it, now, because, as we all understand, people get really busy with summer and businesses and everything. So I think they've probably, even though it feels like it's pushing it out, which is, I imagine, quite tricky for some people, it's probably a wise time to be doing it.
Yeah, no, I get it, because I take at least 4 weeks off over summer for the show. Well, off the air. Sometimes I come back a week early and don't do the show.
Yeah.
But just because it doesn't, like, this is supposed to be about Raglan, what I do here in the show, and it doesn't feel like normal Raglan during that time, and all the normal stuff kind of gets pushed aside while we just deal with summer and maybe enjoy it, maybe hide from it, depending on who you are. But yeah, it's not normal time around here. The airfield, I just saw this morning someone had posted that it was going to cost $112,000 to do the fence, and then Lisa, our councillor, popped in a comment below the post and said there'd been a mistake with that cost, and it was actually, have you got it there?
I do have it right in
front of me. A lot less. Tell us what it is, Gabriel.
So that was a mistake, which was great, right? Because we don't want it to be $112,000. So as far as I understand, the cost of the fencing will be just under $30,000.
Okay. Yep. So that's about a quarter.
So that's quite a difference. And the agenda, just to let you know as well, the agenda of the, because this was in the agenda of the community board for our meeting next week, and that's been updated online. So if you want to look at the agenda.
So that's where it was
agenda,
wrong, was in the original agenda.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So for those who are still wanting to not have a fence, is, as far as the community board's concerned, is this now done and dusted? We can't go back?
As far as I understand, the fence will be constructed mid-December.
Okay.
Which is coming up quite soon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In about 10 days, I'd say. Yeah. Okay. One of the candidates said there were still things the community board could do. They could ask for an independent judicial decision, go to the Attorney General, go to the Ombudsman. Is this something that the community board, the rest of the community board would be very, it sounds drastic, is this something the community board would be interested in, do you think?
I can't say at the moment because I don't have the board sitting here with me. And that question hasn't been put to the whole board, so I can't answer for the board.
Okay, you can answer for yourself.
Can you repeat the question, please? Sorry, slightly.
It was. I know you're
I know it's not completely new because I've heard these sorts of ideas before.
So the suggestion is there could be, you could go for an independent judicial decision, go to the Attorney General, or go to the Ombudsman. That's the words that we received in one of the interviews.
I personally wouldn't be putting energy into doing that for the airfield fence at the moment, in terms of. Where I stand, I think there's support from areas where there needs to be support. And I know that council are working with Ibi and Hapu around the space. I have confidence in that.
In terms of the land ownership?
In terms of the land ownership in the future.
Yep.
I personally, I think there's more important things. That's where I sit right at the moment. I think there's more important things for our community to be focusing on, putting energy into. Well, actually, for me, personally. So anyone else can do whatever they want, right? But for me, no, I wouldn't be doing that.
It's kind of the nuclear option. What effect do you think that would have on the board's relationship with the council staff and the councillors as well? If that was to happen, I'm kind of curious about that.
I think that it's really important that as the community board, we feel that we can do whatever we need to do if it's done with respect.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do anything in terms of, I suppose in terms of working with the council, we can decide what is the best thing to do as a community and as a community board. I think as long as it's done with respect, and we're really caring for those relationships, whether they're council relationships or community relationships, then that's the most important thing.
Okay.
Right? So we're not going to let it, we're not going to not do something because we think, oh, it's going to get in the way of, like, we need to all be able to do what we need to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think it's the last community board meeting, or we talked about the discretionary fund changing. And one of the changes was that it would become, you'd be able to apply to any community board meeting, not just the designated ones. But when does that system start, is what I'm wondering.
As far as I know, it starts now.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're just waiting for, I just chased that up the other day. The next step is for some council staff who are dealing with the changes in the discretionary fund to, there was actually a workshop the other day with community board and community committee chairs. I actually wasn't able to go to that, unfortunately, but and that was to discuss how the boards would manage the fund themselves and how the council would support that. I think it'll be quite a straightforward process. There'll still be an application and an application form, but the community boards will, and it's open all the time, so there's not like a set funding round as there was before, and then the boards would review the application and basically process it with support from
probably
council.
You would be reviewing it, or someone the board designates to do that role.
Yeah, I assume at the beginning I'd be doing that.
Yeah.
And then if there's a need to either delegate that out, or if there's somebody particularly on the board who is really keen to learn how to do that, or then no problem. So as far as I know, if somebody is interested to have some support from the community board discretionary fund, then they just get in touch with us.
Yeah.
And we'll work it out.
Okay. And but probably more details to be worked out as the start of the handover.
Yeah, I think exactly. When the handovers, I'm hoping it will be done in the next couple of weeks, and that then we would have a clear process on our community board website, which will just, But it's kind of, as far as I know, it's open, so don't wait. If you need some funding for a community event or something that you need, you need over the next, month or 6 weeks, don't wait until we've got everything clear. Just get in touch with us.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Another consultation thing we didn't talk about was the Wharf and Harbour consultation that's on at the moment. The bit at the Wharf seems to be about where the step down goes from the boardwalk, and that, which is not really a... Oh, you've got... is that the...
I'm flashing this very cool thing in front of me.
A pamphlet here.
Yeah, so this is the pamphlet. So there are some... they've done a really good job, actually. This is the company that's working with the council and with us to basically manage the whole Wharf projects. Can I have a little look?
So,
and so these brochures are available at the library. You can go. You might even see them around town. So they're a brochure which just explains the kind of four different project areas related to the Wharf and the Harbour Study.
And it's got pictures, folks. It's got pictures.
Yeah, it's colourful. It's got pictures, maps. Yeah, it's really nicely laid out. You'll also see around town there's about two or three big boards which actually explain what's happening as well. And also down at the Wharf.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things. You can fill out a survey to say, to really give your ideas about the future of the harbour, of the Whangaroa Harbour.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. There's a little survey you can do either on hard copy or online.
Yep.
And then there's a couple of questions, specific questions around the design of the new walkway at the Wharf. So do you want the steps to be over there or over there? Quite simple, really. And there's also going to be a little walking tour. I don't know the exact date, but we'll let you know. And that will be an opportunity for you to walk around with some of the project team and probably some of the community board and just ask questions.
Okay.
Like, where's the pontoon going to go, and where's the walkway, and what sort of work you're going to do underneath the Wharf? And
so, something I've picked up from looking at this, when I was interviewing John on Tuesday, John Lawson, we were looking at the two options, and it didn't seem to be much of a choice. But now I see there's a bit more information here, and it has where the step down from the walkway goes.
Yeah,
has implications to do with high tide and exposure to bad weather. So there are some actual decisions to be made there.
Yeah, it's
more
not
than
a major.
More than I thought.
Yeah, it's not a major, but it's really just saying there's a couple of design choices and they'd like to hear. So if you're interested in that.
Okay. Is there other stuff you've been working on? I know you're always working on various things in the background.
I'm just sort of seeing what else is here on my list to talk about. Just a couple of things, I suppose. Is that there's going to be no New Year's Eve fireworks this year. There's a few changes around, and there's not actually going to be a New Year's Eve parade either.
I had heard that,
I don't mean to disappoint people. It feels so, I think...
I'm not surprised.
I think just with everything going on, I think we all understand maybe why these things might be happening. It's a little bit hard, isn't it, when you sort of want to be able to... I think we're just going to need to connect with people and get out and... there's been a lot happening for people, I think, to organise these things and just...
It did say we could have parades, but also looked like the organisers were still going to have to check everyone's vaccine pass. And yeah. That's my interpretation. I might be wrong about that, but that would, if that was the case, that would just be an impossible task.
Mm. I think I don't even know if that's exactly why it's not happening. I think there'll be many different reasons, but just letting people know. And also, obviously, there's big change without Soundsplash happening in our community this year. So, yeah, just thinking of them with the changes there, the organisers.
Can I just check with that? This decision is separate to what's happening with the resource consent application they're doing for 5 years' worth of Soundsplash, I presume. And maybe we should ask them, but...
Yeah, probably best to talk about that sort of detail.
But, like, the application hasn't been withdrawn or anything like that?
No, as far as I know.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think it was a decision of the organisers in terms of just...
this year.
Changes and logistics and many other things. Yeah, I don't... Yeah. Best to talk with them about that detail. Greenslade Road footpath is nearly finished. So that's the connecting road from Nikko Park to Greenslade Road. So there's a footpath and a bridge.
New bridge.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
There's actually going to be some hoops put on the ends so that people can't like drive their cars down there.
Yeah, because it'll happen.
It did look a little bit like a road because it's quite generous.
Yeah.
But that's looking really great. And then the Papahua footpath is that, you know, hopefully it's going to be wrapped up soon and will be finished.
I was down there yesterday. The concrete part, there's concrete outside Joe's Takeaways, that section now. So,
So they're getting
not much
there
left to do. Yep.
Yeah. And other than that, I'm just seeing, I think that's probably the main work, really. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, look, folks, we've been talking to Gabrielle Parson, our community board chairperson. Next community board meeting is next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And get in touch with Gabrielle if you want to get the Zoom number and
yeah,
get
if you want to speak
questions
at the public forum, then be in touch.
Yeah. All right, Gabrielle. Thanks heaps for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron.